You feel free to do that. I'm easy to get up with, and I hope that I'm easy to talk with. I'll probably do more listening than talking. And so if you want to talk with me about the lesson from this morning or any other lesson or the lesson tonight, you feel free to do that. I assure you I don't stand at the back for you to pat me on the back. I appreciate your words of encouragement, but I'm back there just so as to make myself available to you if you want to ask questions about the lesson, or for visitors, if they want to ask us about why we do the things that we do. We're very easy to get up with and to ask those questions to. Again, I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate, again, the opportunity to stand before you. What made the difference is our lesson tonight. We're going to look at some examples from the Bible of individuals, and I just want to ask the question as I put on the board, what made the difference? There's a host of examples that you could think about in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. What was the difference? What made the difference between Cain and Abel? The sacrifice of one being accepted, the sacrifice of the other not. I think that's an upcoming lesson for the teenage class. I saw their handout. Either they talked about it this morning or maybe it's next week. But I appreciate that work that Bellis is doing with them. What made the difference between Noah and the ark and the people who died and perished out of the ark? And so the list just goes on and on with that kind of thinking. I want us to think about several examples tonight, just a few. And I've got 11 on the outline, and we'll just briefly think about these and ask the question, what made the difference? And the first one that I want you to consider with me comes from the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And notice what the Lord taught as He was wrapping up this, what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And He begins with verse 24, the reading anyway, as we think about this first point. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so as you think about these two builders, what was the difference in the two? Well, the Lord said, basically, the difference was one heard and obeyed, and one heard and did not obey. That made the difference. It's amazing to me that we live in such a time when the religious world, by and large, will try to cast aside the notion of obedience. And yet they will again say, at the same time say, that we must do what God says to do, but yet we're not saved by obedience. And yet we read in the New Testament over and over of things that we must do and things that we must not do. Many times they'll run to the book of Romans to try to find a hiding place, some peg to hang their hat on and say, well, look here, it's by grace. It's not by any type of law, though we talked about this morning. We're under the law of Christ, and we'll talk about that more next Sunday morning. We're saved by grace. We're not saved by doing anything. And they'll run to the book of Romans, but it's fascinating to me that they'll run to the very book that has as its bookends obedience. You read about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and Romans 16, verse 26, for obedience to the faith. And so the very book that they run to has at the beginning, at the end, the first chapter and the last chapter, about obedience to the faith. And so the Lord said, he that will hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built upon the rock. And then when the floods came, the rain beat, the winds beat, and so forth, it stayed steady. It stood because it was founded upon a rock. And the foolish builder was the one that would hear and not obey, would not do those things. And the Lord said he built upon the sand. So what made the difference? One obeyed and one did it. The Bible puts a lot of emphasis upon obedience, and I know that we all appreciate that. But all through the Bible, it's emphasized about obedience, about doing what God says to do. And I don't know how many times we've been accused of saying that we're a works-based religion. We believe in trying to merit or deserve or earn our salvation. Well, that's just absolute misunderstanding of what we believe to teach and practice. We don't believe we're trying to earn, merit, or deserve our salvation. We are just in simple obedience and humble submission to the will of God, trying to do what God said to do so that we'll be saved when the end comes. And that's not trying to deserve it, but that's just simply responding in obedience, in faithful obedience to what God says to do. Earlier in the chapter, the Lord taught in Matthew 7:21-23, a passage we've talked about many times, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And of course, he went on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, will not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, in thy name cast out devils. But he didn't recognize them. If we expect to go to heaven, it'll be because we obeyed the Lord. We must obey what the Lord has told us to do. What made the difference between the two builders? Obedience. Doing what the Lord said to do. But I ask you, when it comes to Acts chapter 2, I don't know how many Jews was present on that occasion, on that day of Pentecost. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the Bible does say that there was a great number of Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And then Peter preached to them about Jesus. They asked the question, what must we do? Verse 36, Peter responded, repent and be baptized. Or they asked the question, verse 37, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Verse 38, and then the Bible tells us, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Acts 2, and in verse 41. Now what made the difference between those about 3,000 souls that obeyed and the multitude of people that did not obey? Well, obedience. But also the simple fact that they that obeyed were those that had gladly received His Word. And they did something about their spiritual condition before the Lord. I wish people today, when they hear the preaching of the gospel, would do something about their soul. Don't you? You tell them what they have to do, what the Bible says to do. You just simply quote the Scriptures to them. And I appreciate Ethan doing the good job in the reading he did. Search the Scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, John 5:39. And gladly receive it and do something about it. And as a result of that, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, I made the difference. The difference between gladly receiving and not receiving what he said is shown by their obedience to the gospel of Christ. But then I think about the young rich ruler that the Bible makes mention of in the book of Mark, chapter 10. The man who came to the Lord, he came to the right source, came to the one that he ought to come to. What must I do that I might have eternal life? But Master, what must I do? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, which is our Father in heaven. Go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. The Lord had talked to him about some things that was contained in the Old Testament law of Moses. Keep these things. I kept these things from the time I was young till now. What do I lack? Go and get rid of what you got. Go and sell it. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. You'll be in a better position if you go and do these things. But not so. Went away sorrowful at that because he had great possessions. Well, you can't take it with you. Job 1 records for us, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked came I into this world. Naked shall I return. I'm not going to take anything with me. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1 verse 21. The Bible record doesn't tell us what this man did after this point that we read. Other than the fact that he went away sorrowful. I don't know what happened. You don't either. I won't even try to speculate what happened. But he came to the right source and he asked a good question. And he got the answer that he was looking for, but he went away sorrowful. But then what made the difference between the 10 virgins that you read about in the book of Matthew, chapter 10? 5 wise, 5 foolish. Remember what made the difference? And that account that we read of. And I told you Matthew chapter 10, I may have said to you. It's Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. What made the difference? Preparation. Being prepared for the time when the bridegroom will come. And preparing yourself so as to not be found unprepared when he does come. And the text goes on to say, While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now's the time to be prepared. It's interesting, you read a lot about preparation in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 24, 36 through 44, the danger of no preparation. 45 through 51, the dangers of delayed preparation. 25, 1 through 13, the dangers of partial preparation. 25, 14 through 30, talks about examples of proper and improper preparation. And then the result of one's preparation, verses 31 through 41. That's just some notes I've written down. You can write them down, do with them what you'd like. But we need to be prepared. Because we don't know when the Lord is going to return. O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. The famous words of Amos 4 and in verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God. To Israel, he was coming in judgment. Because of their rebellion against him, but Jesus is going to one day return and stand in judgment. We'll stand before him, and so we need to make preparation. What made the difference in the book of John, chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, between those who turned to walk no more with the Lord and those who stayed? What made the difference? From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus turned to the 12, Will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Think of that. What made the difference between those who left and those who stayed? Those who stayed realized Jesus had something that others could not offer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Nobody. Nowhere else can you go and get what Jesus has to offer. No use in trying. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. In John chapter 1, he talks about the fact that Jesus was the light of the world. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verses 11 and 12. We need to be sure, convinced, that Jesus has the words of life, and he is the Son of God. Now, if you're a Christian, you make confession of that with your mouth before you obey the gospel. be sure about it, convinced about it. What made the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees in the book of Acts chapter 23? When the Bible says that they were divided upon what Paul had stated in that text, which we recently made mention about the Sadducees. I feel like it's from the pulpit. It could have been on the TV program. I don't always remember which one. I make a statement. It very well could have been here. But in Acts chapter 23, the Bible says, Paul said in verse 5, I wish not, brethren, that he was a high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. It's interesting that Paul would make that statement at this point. To me, it's interesting. Because he'd obeyed the gospel. But he says, I'm a Pharisee. I know he's reflecting on his previous prior life, prior to conversion. Still, it's interesting to me that it's worded that way, but nonetheless, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I'm called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. What made the difference? Why was there a dissension over the words that Paul had said? Because you had people here that didn't believe in a resurrection. Paul says, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. The hope of the resurrection, I'm called in question. You say, well, I could understand that being among these Jewish people. Well, we was talking about earlier about the 400 years of silence, the 400 years from the close of Malachi to the opening of Matthew. It really is in that time when the Jews had divided between into the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You say, well, okay, I can see them being divided, but surely God's people would never be divided about something like that. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul's writing to Christians, and guess what? Some of them were saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, turn to that passage and read it with me. Paul says, beginning with verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. And then he just lays out several reasons, at least seven conclusions, if there be no resurrection. And so some, even in the first century, even after the church was established, among God's people, were saying that there is no bodily resurrection. And Paul refutes that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 and following. What made the difference when you come to Revelation chapter 3? Of course, you know the context of it. The Lord is giving a message to the seven churches of Christ located throughout Asia. One of them is Sardis. What made the difference between those who would walk with the Lord and those who would not? I'll read the text, Revelation chapter 3, begin with verse 1. Most of them received a rebuke from the Lord. In Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 1 beginning, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. What's verse 4? Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The Lord even took note of some who was even among these to whom He was rebuking, telling to repent. Yet He's saying that there are a few names in Sardis that walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Why? Because they have not defiled their garments. I want to tell you today, you don't have to go along with what other people are doing with when what other people are doing is wrong. You don't have to go along with it. And sometimes we try to paint with a broad brush people who attend this place, that place, and say, well, everybody just believes the same thing there. Well, maybe not. Maybe there are some people there who are striving to teach others what the truth of the matter is. So be careful about that. Here's an example in the divine record of God of some individuals who would walk with the Lord in white because they were worthy, because they had not allowed their garments to be spotted. In Jude verse 3, right before the book of Revelation, the statement is made, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Think about it. Do what you can to teach others the gospel. And then verse 23, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We talked about recently, Paul's, I think that was in the Bible class, he made mention of when Paul had told Timothy, keep thyself pure. I believe that's 1 Timothy 5 and then verse 22. Keep thyself pure. It's a full-time job for me and you to keep ourselves pure. That is 1 Timothy 5 and then verse 22. There's more on the outline. You can pick that up in the back, from the outline, I discussed with you, mentioned to you, what was the difference between Martha and Mary. Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with many things. Mary had chosen that good thing, that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Make mention on the outline about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, begin with verse 1. You can study about that. What made the difference between them and what individuals were doing in the previous chapter, in chapter 4? What made the difference cause these two individuals to lose their life on the spot, discipline administered by the Lord Himself to these two liars in Acts chapter 5? What made the difference between the good man and the evil man in Matthew chapter 12? He can outline up and study about that. Difference between the good and the evil man. One last point. In Revelation 12, verses 20 through 15. What made the difference between those who would be cast in the lake of fire and those who would not be? Those who are cast in the lake of fire, their names were not written in the book of life. Those who would not be cast in the lake of fire, their names were written in the book of life. And so I ask you, is your name written there? An interesting conversation with another preacher this afternoon. We were talking about the Lamb's book of life. Some things that the scriptures say about the book of life. You can read about the book of life, book of the living, in the Old Testament. Your name is written in the book of life when you obey the gospel of Christ. And incidentally, the last chapter of the book of Revelation deals a death blow relative to once saved, always saved, the perseverance of the saints concerning and using the book of life. When he talks about they that shall add unto the things that are written in the words of this prophecy, plagues that are written therein shall be added unto him. Then he use the flip side, and he says, whosoever shall take away of the words of the book of this prophecy, his name shall be taken out of the holy city and out of the book of life. Folks, that's a death blow to once saved, always saved. Just as sure as your name can be written there, it can be blotted out. Are you here tonight not a Christian? I know most of you are. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel. Do you realize that the decision you make could very well be the deciding decision as to where you'll spend all eternity? Think about that. When life is over, you can't come back and have any do-overs. Doesn't work that way. Now is the time to obey. Hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you have done that. But you realize you've not lived right. You've not been faithful as you should. You've not been steadfast. Doing what God would have you to do. And you want to straighten things up and come back to the Lord. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.